Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
In September, Commissioner Bill Bratton, whose contributions to our city and to law enforcement, not only here but across the nation, are literally inestimable and extraordinary. In September, Commissioner Bratton will retire from the NYPD. And we have found the perfect person to succeed him in Chief Jimmy O'Neill.
That was the bombshell from Mayor de Blasio yesterday, announcing the resignation of NYPD Commissioner Bill Bratton, and that his number two, Chief James O'Neill, they call him Jimmy, will step up to the top job. Now, when Mayor de Blasio was on the show last Friday, we already knew that Bratton would leave by next year. And I asked him what he would look for in a new commissioner. Notice he uses the James O'Neill phrase, neighborhood policing.
I've said I think it's important to not get too far into that discussion where there's plenty of work ahead to be done. But the broad point is this. Bill Bratton's done an outstanding job. He really has. And he and I feel tremendous strategic unity on the kinds of things we have to do, particularly neighborhood policing, retraining the entire police force on things like de-escalation in conflict situations, implicit bias training, which we're going to be starting soon, helping all of our officers to understand we as human beings have biases. We have to address them and not allow them to infect the work we do. So, you know, so much of what he believes in, I believe in, has allowed us to, you know, simultaneously drive down shootings, drive down crime, and improve police-community relations at the same time. So I'm looking in the future, if the people choose me for a second term, to continue that progress. And I'll look for, obviously, the person I think can best epitomize what I've seen in Bill Bratton.
The mayor here last Friday, obviously my question about what kind of police commissioner he would look for in his second term turned out to be looking too far down the road. So to talk about this moment for the mayor and the police department and the city, I'm joined by WNYC reporters Robert Lewis and Bridget Bergen. Robert's our criminal justice editor. Bridget Bergen is our City Hall reporter. And in a few minutes, we'll hear from Bronx City Council member Vanessa Gibson, who chairs the council's Public Safety Committee. Meanwhile, Bridget, Robert, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What the mayor said to me last week, is that what he's getting with Chief O'Neill?
Chief O'Neill really is the architect of this neighborhood policing program that the NYPD is doing. As sort of Bratton said, what's old is new again, although it sounds like there's some hopes, plans to sort of take the idea of neighborhood policing, community policing, which has been around for a long time, in sort of new directions here in the city. And again, James O'Neill, Jimmy, has been behind that.
And Bratton himself sees this as a seamless transition.
This city, this department, will have a seamless transition. And there has never been a time in American policing history when that is more important than now. Because as we go forward and face the crises of race in America, crime in America, fear of terrorism, and in the midst of the turmoil of this presidential election, there is no police department in America that will be better prepared to face all that we are going to have to face in the future.
So, Bridget, it's pretty unusual to promote from within the department to the top job. And my question to the mayor last week was premised on the idea that he'd be scouring the country for the next great police leader. And we've imported from other cities in that respect before, including Bratton, who was already in charge in Boston of some police functions before he came here. So how unusual is this?
Well, I think, certainly the mayor has done these types of broader searches for other positions within the administration. However, I think we've been getting some signals that certainly Commissioner Bratton has been boosting the image of Chief O'Neill. He's been appearing with him, certainly he's appeared with him in press settings where they're talking about police issues, regularly for the last 2.5 years. But more and more, you start to see him in media appearances like on New York One, the two appearing together, a lot more conversation about this neighborhood policing model and where they plan to move this forward. So I think the signals were there that this could be coming, and it wasn't a huge surprise. I sat down with the mayor when I was in Philadelphia last week also, and at that point he described the departure of Bratton as a hypothetical, but also described someone who had the same characteristics of Bratton as what he would be looking for in someone who would replace him. And certainly I think there is a lot of similarity between Bratton and O'Neill.
So listeners, anything you want to say about the tenure, the legacy of William Bratton as police commissioner, good, bad, mixed, descriptive, whatever, or a question you want to ask of our reporters, Bridget Bergen and Robert Lewis, City Hall reporter, criminal justice reporter, 212-433-WNYC, or about the incoming NYPD commissioner, James O'Neill, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Robert, let's talk about the timing a little bit. I heard you list all of the reasons that Bratton might want to leave when you were on earlier, starting with the protests against him as the avatar for broken window style policing. Do you think protests had anything to do with it?
Short answer is I don't know. I mean, I don't necessarily think that these protests would drive him out after such a lengthy career. I mean, they were sort of just starting. They weren't all that big. He's dealt with plenty of protests since he's been here. I mean, it's been a tumultuous couple years. I mean, he can, and I would think rightly, can claim some real reforms of the department. But he's also had some really troubling times here, protests nightly from police reform advocates, the police union's up in arm thinking that and saying that they're not being supported by City Hall, by his boss. So, this latest round of protests, I have a little trouble believing this is what actually drove him out.
Bridget, what is this about the PBA, Police Benevolent Association, the police union, staking out the mayor's gym in Brooklyn every morning?
Well, you know, when it's reported that you go to the gym in Brooklyn every morning and people have something to say to you, they'll go to where you are. The PBA is still upset because they are in contract negotiations with the city that have, at this point, reached a stalemate, and there's a chance that they could end up going back into arbitration, binding arbitration, where a state official will decide what the salary increase will be. That's what happened in the last contract. At this moment, members of the PBA have been tailing the mayor, letting them know how they feel. They've been outside of Gracie Mansion. They've been outside of the gym in Park Slope. And they're trying, I think, to some degree, to seize on this moment where the mayor is having a difficult time politically. He's had a series of pretty significant bumps in the road. And so they are taking advantage of this moment to make their case for, given the work that they do, the challenges that they face, they believe they deserve a better contract than the one the city has proposed, which would be in keeping with the pattern that other uniformed officers in the city have received, 11% over 10 years. So, it's an interesting moment.
212-433-WNYC and Adam in Jersey City. You're on WNYC. Hi, Adam. Adam,
hi,
are you there?
Good morning. When I heard that Bratton was stepping down and that he had appointed O'Neill, my first reaction, I told my wife, was, oh, great, another Irish Catholic white guy. So I was just wondering whether or not any of the reporters know if there's any consideration of any Latinos or African Americans, even Muslims for that matter, for the position.
It's a great question. I don't know the extent to which the mayor consider what other candidates he considered. I mean, there has been some reporting that Ben Tucker was being looked at, who's I believe the highest ranking African American in the department. I will say that obviously, while you're correct, a white Irish Catholic, it would appear, is now leading the department. Ben Tucker is staying on as first deputy commissioner, and Carlos Gomez has been elevated to chief of department. So, basically the next two highest guys in the department are black and Latino.
I would have thought a search was going to begin, as I said before, and that there would be at least a big public display, even if it was fake. I don't know if it being fake makes it any better or worse, but of, looking seriously at candidates of color. I mean, to think of the last African-American police commissioner, I guess, being under Mayor Dinkins. And Mayor Koch had one, too. And then we go, you know, back to the old tradition of Irish cops in charge of the police department, Kelly, Bratton, O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little surprising.
I mean, it is. It doesn't necessarily feel like it's in keeping with the way the mayor has described how he wants to make sure the administration reflects the city itself. However, you know, as we've been talking about, the signals were there that Chief O'Neill was someone who both Commissioner Bratton and the mayor himself, you know, saw as a future leader and as a possible successor to Commissioner Bratton. And I just want to make one note, Brian, to our conversation about the PBA contract. I said 11% over 10 years. I meant to say 7 years. So just a point of clarification on
okay.
that.
Okay. And Bridget, how about the corruption scandal as a factor for Bratton leaving now? I mean, the investigation was really opened into Mayor de Blasio's fundraising, but the biggest thing they've come up with so far is a whole bunch of corrupt cops, and some of them near the top.
You know, of course that question came up yesterday, and I would say the mayor was almost defiant in how strongly he answered it. He said 110% that had nothing to do with the timing of this. And Commissioner Bratton also said that those investigations are continuing, and they will continue beyond, you know, his departure. And so I think what they tried to come back to repeatedly was that Commissioner Bratton had been offered this, you know, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to have this position in the private sector at this consulting firm where he will be a senior executive advising on risk, a company called Teneo. And it was an opportunity that at this point in his life, he's 68 years old, he and his wife did not want to let pass by. So after many, many years in public service, he's going from private back to public, back to private.
He had that quote yesterday about wishing that he had more time. And that made it sound either like he was going to die or that he was, you know, somehow older than 68 years old. I mean, look at Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. One of them is going to be a 70-year-old first-year president. Look at Bernie Sanders. I mean, he's got more time, except that he's choosing not to have more time.
I mean, I think there was a sense of, you know, is there something wrong with his health? You know, a feeling in the room that people were concerned because of exactly what you talked about. A lot of his talk about the clock running out and wishing he had more time chronologically. A cop's life is a tough life. I mean, also Chief O'Neill, who is 58 years old, 10 years younger, talked about, you know, feeling his age. And so some of it may be the wear and tear of the work itself. So,
and as a factor in the mayor's reelection next year, I don't know if de Blasio considers Bratton more of a liability or more of a strength running for re-election. Certainly, he's a flashpoint in some segments of some communities because of broken windows, because of, you know, all the things that are going on between police and communities around the country, that are some of which are reflected in New York, Eric Garner, et cetera. But it wouldn't be for de Blasio's reasons, I don't think, right?
You're saying the political reasons for him leaving. I mean, I defer a bit to Bridget on this one. I don't know. He is a flashpoint. Yes, obviously Bratton is a flashpoint, but he's also a guy that instantly gave de Blasio some law enforcement cred. I mean,
right.
he's so respected, been around so long in the law enforcement world, came in and immediately police officers said, oh, good, you know, or a lot of them did, it seems. Bratton's at the helm. So obviously a lot has happened over the last couple of years, but
yeah, and I would think that he would be weaker, de Blasio, still on law enforcement cred than he is on being too tough on the communities.
I mean, as long as Bratton has been part of this administration, and it's important to know that the relationship between the mayor and Bratton predated him being commissioner. He was someone who, when the mayor was a public advocate, you know, sought out his advice and his counsel. And, you know, they really do, as much as they talk about how they, you know, share this perspective on policy, certainly they do have a real relationship. Now, what we have seen is that occasionally Commissioner Bratton has gone off script and has not, you know, used the same language the mayor would use to talk about certain situations.
They disagreed on how positive a thing Black Lives Matter is.
Interestingly, they disagreed about that on the same day we were told that Commissioner Bratton brought the mayor into his office after they gave the 6-month crime statistics update and informed him that he was going to be taking this job with the private sector. And the commissioner said he had to scrape the mayor up off the floor and put him on his couch. And after they spoke for 2 hours, kind of came to their decision about how they would handle it. At that particular briefing, just the timing of it is so interesting. And sort of, I think we haven't spent a lot, it's gotten glossed over a little bit. During the update yesterday, they talked about how the commissioner gave the mayor his notice on July 8th. That was a Friday, and that Friday was actually the day after those 5 police officers were killed in Dallas during a Black Lives Matter protest. That was when the city was supposed to give its 6-month crime statistics update, but they delayed it until Monday, July 11th. So I checked with the mayor's press office and said, did this communication between the mayor and commissioner happen on July 8th or did it happen on the 11th? They said it's actually the 11th. It happened on the day of the stat update. And that was also where the mayor and the commissioner were asked about Black Lives Matter. The mayor described it as, you know, a movement that he thought was important for the dialogue it had sparked, that it included some bad actors, but basically, you know, saw it as part of a broader, you know, broader conversation that needed to happen. Interestingly, that was also the day that when Commissioner Bratton was asked about it, he pulled out a prepared written statement, almost as though he had hoped someone would ask about this because he wanted to talk about it. And he framed it differently. He talked about how at the root of some of these issues are stereotypes. And you know, whether it's stereotyping all police officers as being racist or killers, or stereotyping all of members of the movement as, you know, being anti-cop, that was, you know, what was the fundamental problem, and the only way to move forward was real dialogue. But his words were much more critical of the movement than the mayor's, and that tension is something, you know, that we saw publicly, and sometimes, you know, as observers, you know, it was very interesting and curious to think how, you know, given how much they share in terms of policy, could they sort of see the nuances of something like this so differently.
WNYC City Hall reporter Bridget Bergen, WNYC criminal justice reporter Robert Lewis, and also joining us now on the departure of Bill Bratton and the elevation of James O'Neill to NYPD commissioner is City Council member Vanessa Gibson, who represents the 44th District in the Bronx, including parts of the West Bronx, Morsania, Highbridge, Melrose, and she's also the chair of the council's Public Safety Committee. Councilmember Gibson, welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Ryan. Good to be back on. Thank you.
And Chief O'Neill headed the precinct, or one of the precincts in your district, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yes, the 44th precinct in the Bronx.
So you're familiar with his work?
Absolutely, very familiar. And since that time, I've been working with him in his different capacities. I think this is a great opportunity for Chief O'Neill to step up to a new leadership role as commissioner. I want to be very optimistic and give him an opportunity to set his own footprints. I think for many of us at the council that have been working with Chief O'Neill in his current capacity have had a great rapport with him. He's easygoing. He listens. He's responsive. He's genuinely a nice guy. And sometimes I emphasize it because people don't think a commissioner can really be a really nice guy. But Chief O'Neill really is. I think he gets it. You know, authoring the Neighborhood Coordination Officer Program based on, you know, a lot of the efforts to rebuild the community-based policing, I think is a good testament to the work that we're attempting to do to really rebuild that trust and to begin to heal as a city. I'm very happy. I think Chief O'Neill is a great guy. He's given his life over 30 years to the department. He loves this city, loves the job he does. In the 4-4 precinct, he still comes back and visits. and my precinct council residents and all the clergy that know him, you know, we feel really honored that, you know, in chief of department, he will come back to the borough at the 4-4. So we're very excited, and certainly I want to give him an opportunity as this transition takes place before we begin those very critical conversations. I talk to him a lot about diversity, about promotional path, making sure that we continue to elevate people of color and women. That's very important for us, the recruitment effort. So I really do think, you know, Chief O'Neill will bring a different dynamic. I applaud Commissioner Bratton. I think, you know, overall crime being down in New York City is great. I appreciate the work he's done. But it hasn't always been a great relationship. There's been many times where it's been a little, you know, contentious in terms of legislation. The council pushed, the commissioner didn't really support. So many of us really looked to Chief O'Neill to give us some guidance. And, you know, I do think now with him being elevated, it really gives us a chance to see what direction he's going to take this city in under his leadership.
It sounds like you believe Chief O'Neill's relationship with this idea of neighborhood policing is genuine and that he's been practicing it for a long time. Here's just 12 seconds of him from the news conference yesterday mentioning it.
Neighborhood policing program is the heart and soul of what I want for this great city. That it would be better for the cops, and it'd be far better for the community if they know who's actually out there protecting and serving them every day.
So as chair of the Council Public Safety Committee and I guess an advocate of neighborhood policing yourself, what do you think would change if Chief O'Neill really gets to implement his ideas fully?
So I think that we will continue on the work we've done with the NCO program. Right now we're in about 30 commands, and obviously in the fall we'll expand more until it's universally in all 77 precincts and all PSAs. I think for the most part, in my district, the NCO program has been very successful. Residents like it. They like the continuity, seeing the officers engaging. They come to family days. They come to church with us, and they really engage with us. We don't have to worry about them changing to a new precinct in 6 months to a year. We can break them in, right, like a good shoe, and keep them and really get to know them. They know us. We know them. And so far, my residents like it. They appreciate it. Depending on what sector they're in, they get to know those two NCOs. So I see it as a way to really rebuild and get residents to feel a sense of comfort and security and not always be afraid of the cops, because that's typically what has happened. Young men and women of color were afraid when they see a uniform. You know, sometimes I feel a kind of way when we go to events and there are 20 cops there, and residents see that, and there, you know, there's a sense of, you know, kind of a wall that goes up because you just don't know what to expect. So with the NCO program, you have two dedicated officers that are not on patrol, not answering 911 calls, that are really involved with the clergy, with the small businesses. A lot of the quality of life issues that don't always get addressed in a timely fashion, that's what the NCOs do. So I definitely see Chief O'Neill expanding on that. And many of the other programs, we have the Community Partnership Program, the CPP, that's led by Inspector Stephen Ortiz. That's another great program where we engage local residents that come to 1PP that talk about issues, improving the quality of life. So I definitely see Chief O'Neill bringing his personal and his, you know, personality into the mix. And I think that's a good thing. For many of us that have worked with him, we know who he is. I told him yesterday after the press conference, don't let the title change you. You define the title. Don't change who you are as a person. Don't change your values and your principles and your character and why you began in the department over 30 years ago. Because that tends to happen sometimes when people are elevated. There are expectations that are demanded of someone, and I want him to be consistent. I want him to be the same Jimmy O'Neill that many of us have been working with during his tenure as chief of department.
Councilwoman, our criminal justice reporter, Robert Lewis, has a question for you. Robert?
Yeah, sure. Councilwoman, I'm just curious. I mean, neighborhood policing, community policing has been around as a concept for a long time, in favor for a while, and then actually fell out of favor. And I'm just sort of curious why you think this time around it's going to work.
Well, I think we have to be obviously very optimistic that it can only get better because of so much of the heightened tensions that we've seen with the levels of violence across the nation that has an effect on us in the city. I think residents that remember the beat cops want to get back to some level of that, and that's what the NCO program seeks to do. I think many of my seniors that fear going outside and sitting on their bench just don't see themselves being able to do that. And now with us trying to work together and really encouraging residents to feel that they are a part of public safety. Our only response should not always be police. We want to get back to the tenant patrols and have tenant leaders be a part of the solution working with local NCOs. So I do believe, I'm very optimistic because I've seen it in my community and how it has worked successfully. So I know that as we continue to expand, I'm hoping that it will continue to help us improve overall relationships, and in particular, obviously, communities of color. And then I also will just add, too, with Chief O'Neill, we have another great guy that many of us know in Carlos Gomez. He served as my Bronx Borough Commander, so many of us know him well. So I think having him, First Deputy Ben Tucker, I want to throw out another good friend, Chief Juanita Holmes, who chairs DV, Chief Kim Royster, that's working on recruitment and diversity. There's a lot of executives that are doing this great work, and I feel like being a part of the team working with Chief O'Neill, I'm very optimistic that relationships will improve.
And Bridget Bergen has a question for you, our City Hall reporter.
Hi. Hi, Councilwoman.
Hi.
You know, I'm curious to know what you think now this means for the future of the Right to Know Act. It wasn't voted on by the council yet, but it had a lot of support. You know, do you see a new conversation starting now with Commissioner O'Neill at the helm?
Right. I do believe many of my colleagues, obviously the prime sponsors, Council Members Reynoso and Torres, will continue to have those very critical conversations. While the Speaker has made the decision to work with the NYPD on an administrative capacity, immediate changes to procedure as well as patrol guide amendments, it's certainly not off the table. The bills remain in the Public Safety Committee. And now with Chief O'Neill, I think we can now have another conversation. The challenge has always been, you know, leading the department, the commissioner, really sets forth the vision. And Chief of Department, working with Commissioner Bratton, he's not necessarily going to step out and give his own opinion. But now that he is Commissioner, that doesn't remove the conversation off the table.
And when you say the Right to Know Act, the provisions that the NYPD has accepted voluntarily, allowing the City Council to withdraw the bill, include asking people before they search them and taking no for an answer, and handing out business cards in many cases, right?
Right. So there are many components of the Right to Know bills that are in this new agreement, in terms of level three searches, in terms of the identification piece, but it's not the whole picture, so it's not all of the components of both bills, and that's why many advocates, rightfully so, and the prime sponsors are still very concerned, because they don't believe that it gets to the heart of the most number of stops that occur on an everyday basis. But I say to the public, to my colleagues, that this is not a conversation that is closed. We're going to work with Chief O'Neill in his new capacity, and we're going to continue to have those conversations. So this is not a dead issue. I think we all strive for the same goals. We want the department to operate better. We want to be treated fairly, given an opportunity. We want fairness. We don't want the over-policing in minority communities, and we really want to get back to the neighborhood-based policing, because I think for many of us, it humanizes officers. You don't necessarily see a uniform, but you see a human being. And for me, that's very, very important in my district.
City Council Member Vanessa Gibson from the Bronx, Chair of the Public Safety Committee, and WNYC reporters Bridget Bergen and Robert Lewis, as we talk about the departure of Commissioner Bill Bratton and the elevation of Chief James O'Neill. And let's take a call for all of you from Michael in the Bronx. You're on WNYC.
Okay.
Hi, Michael.
Good morning, everybody. I have a question for Ms. Gibson, if I got her name correctly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm hoping for Chief O'Neill to be successful in his upcoming new role as well. But there's one particular critical factor here, and that is the police union president, Patrick Lynch, because we remember Bill Bratton came in, and it was the same idea of community policing, the balancing between law enforcement and respecting the rights of the people. And I have noticed that Mr. Lynch has been very defiant of not only the police commissioner, but also of the mayor. So I can't help but wonder if we're going to have the same repeat situation, that everything starts off fine and then that scale starts tilting a bit.
Yeah, good question. How do you expect relations to be any different with Pat Lynch? And does Lynch direct the rank and file, in your opinion, to kind of roll their eyes at the idea of neighborhood policing as you and Chief O'Neill mean it?
That's a great question, and I'm laughing because, you know, Pat Lynch is Pat Lynch. But I do hope, you know, again, he's the leader of, you know, the majority of the police in our department. And I'm really hoping that, especially a lot of the divisive rhetoric and a lot of the responses that have always come out of, you know, Pat's mouth, I want to make sure we change the conversation. We as leaders have to be very careful about what we say. People look to us for leadership, and certainly they're looking to us in terms of the direction of the city as it relates to public safety. But I will say that Chief O'Neill has a great relationship with Pat Lynch, and, you know, obviously it'll be different from Commissioner Bratton because Chief O'Neill is not Commissioner Bratton. I don't think it'll be a perfect relationship. No relationship is perfect. Change is a process. So I think, you know, we have to wait and see how all of this plays out in terms of the relationship that, you know, President Lynch will have with the incoming commissioner. But I will say that all the conversations we've had under Commissioner Bratton remain on the table. And then just one point of clarification. The Right to Know Act was not withdrawn from the committee. I want to make sure people know that it remains on the Public Safety Committee. So it has not been withdrawn, even with the administrative agreement.
However, the city council as a whole did not vote on the bill.
That is correct. Yes, that's correct.
And just one last thing, since it came up from a caller earlier, does it matter at all to you that it's another white Irish guy who's going to run the department? I mean, obviously, if somebody's really qualified to do it, then they're really qualified to do it. But a qualification might include coming from within the community for credibility, for really understanding the places that the most intense policing takes place in, plus the symbolism of it and what it might represent. We see the success of Chief Brown in Dallas, who's been such a national figure now. And after those killings of the police officers, there's been a wave of recruitment, successful recruitment, people signing up to join the police department in Dallas, I think largely because Chief Brown was seen as such an inspirational figure after that and a unifying figure. Does it matter at all?
Diversity is always important to me and to the council and to the conversations we have, recruitment. I think we do, as a department, great in terms of recruiting new officers. The last class that graduated in July had almost 20% Asian American women, and that's the highest it's ever been. Certainly, we must continue to improve. I think because of the timing and to allow a seamless transition, the mayor acknowledged yesterday that there was not a national search done on a new commissioner. He interviewed two people, and obviously one of those being Jimmy O'Neill. I think Jimmy O'Neill has been doing the work over 30 years serving in the department. He has the experience, and I think he was being groomed for this to step up to commissioner. Am I concerned about diversity? Absolutely. I want to make sure when we have press conferences and announcements, you see people of color and you see women. And so it's great that when you look at the top team next to Jimmy O'Neill, you have Carlos Gomez, you have Ben Tucker, Chief Joanne Jaffe, Juanita Holmes, Kim Royster, and others. But certainly that's not enough. We should never be satisfied. We want to make sure that diversity is important as well as qualifications. We have it in the department, but we need to provide a better opportunity for promotional paths so that officers become detectives or sergeants and lieutenants and one-star chiefs, and they look like us. I think when you look at local communities, our commanding officers, we want them to be reflective of our diversity as well. So I am, you know, pleased that Jimmy is stepping up to this position, but that doesn't take away from me ever talking about diversity and attracting more people of color and qualified women as well.
City Council Public Safety Committee Chair and Bronx member Vanessa Gibson, WNYC Criminal Justice Reporter Robert Lewis, WNYC City Hall Reporter Bridget Bergen, thank you all so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come. Stay with us.